Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Choosing Theo by Victoria Aveline, narrated by Stephen Dexter. Chapter 1.
2 a.m.,
Jade groaned. She had to be up for work in 6 hours.
"Why do I do this to myself?"
she muttered. It had never been easy for Jade to sleep. She envied people who were able to lay down and drift away to dreamland in a matter of minutes. Whenever she tried to sleep, her fatigued body was at odds with her active mind. As a landscape designer, Jade could get away with both sleeping and working at odd hours. Her home office was a perfectly cultivated creative area, and the majority of her designs were produced there rather than in a stifling office. It was not often that she was required to leave her home and venture into the world, and she preferred it that way. Tomorrow she was scheduled to meet with a particularly wealthy client who wanted the yard of his lakefront home to resemble an authentic Japanese garden, finding plants that resembled those found in the temperate climate of Japan, but could survive the humid subtropical climate of South Carolina would be an interesting design challenge, to say the least. Looking at the mountain of half-finished sketches and cold mugs of coffee on her desk, she frowned. She clicked off the TV and walked the few steps it took to get to her small kitchen. As she rinsed out her wine glass, she saw a flash of light through the window above her sink. Odd, it wasn't raining. She waited for the thunder, but none came. Lightning storms weren't uncommon in South Carolina. The flash she'd seen had been close, though, close enough that she should have been able to hear thunder. She shrugged, setting her glass aside, and made her way to her bedroom. Bang! Jade's body tensed mid-step. Bang, bang! The initial panic at hearing the loud sound was replaced by annoyance.
Damn door,
she grumbled. For weeks, the latch on her screen door had been broken. If she didn't make sure to pull it closed in exactly the right way, it would end up opening and banging against its frame with the wind. More than once this week, she'd been jolted awake by the repetitive thud. As she yanked the screen door closed, she looked toward the tree line at the edge of her property. No other flashes of light illuminated the sky, yet the night air was warm and humid. Maybe there was a storm on the way. From the corner of her eye, she saw movement in the darkness. A low rustling sounded from outside. She strained her ears. An animal of some kind, probably. Reaching to her left, she flipped on the porch light, intending to scare away the furry intruder. A human-sized reptilian creature stood in her yard instead. Jade shrieked in horror and slammed the door closed. She bolted the lock and then hastily backed away. Her heel caught on the entry rug and she toppled backward, arms windmilling. A hideous, scaly face appeared in her porch window. The creature's blood-red eyes scanned the room before focusing on her. Jade found herself paralyzed by fear. As she watched, the face vanished from the window. Regaining control of her limbs, she bolted toward her cell phone on the living room couch. A loud crash sounded behind her just before something large and heavy collided with her back. She laid face down on the floor, trapped under what she now realized was her own door. Jade clawed at the floor, attempting to crawl out from beneath the door. In an instant, the weight of the door was gone, and three enormous, icy cold fingers were clutching at her shoulder, trying to turn her over. Jade began kicking in the direction of the creature. Her knee connected with something hard, and she cried out in pain. The last thing she remembered before everything went black was an ear-splitting hiss and the fine mist being sprayed in her face. Chapter 2. It had been 4 days since Jade was abducted. All in all, she had to say, abduction was boring. Initially, she'd been terrified, shrieking in her cell until the reptilian monsters had knocked her out with the sleeping spray they kept strapped to their belts. When she'd calmed down enough to survey her surroundings, she'd deduced where she was. Blinking lights and soft humming emanated from a silver slab near where the monsters sat. They both reclined facing a large glass screen on which strange symbols kept appearing and disappearing. Jade had watched enough sci-fi to know this had to be a spaceship. Nothing on Earth could possibly look like this, unless NASA had decided to build an uber-realistic alien abduction escape room. The moment Jade accepted she'd been abducted by aliens and not Earth monsters and was on a spaceship, not in some reptilian lair on Earth, her screaming and mindless panic had resumed. Thinking back, Jade figured 2 days on this ship had been spent having a complete mental breakdown and then recovering from said breakdown. The next 2 days were spent sitting in a cell and occasionally receiving food she refused to eat. Her cell looked more like a sparsely furnished room with one wall missing. There was a toilet and sink in one corner and a small cot in the opposite corner. The three dark gray metal walls were cold and bare. The last side of the room appeared empty, but Jade had learned there was actually a transparent, impenetrable force field barring her exit. When she'd first gained consciousness, she'd tried to leave through that opening. Instead of walking into the hallway beyond, an invisible solid barrier had greeted her. Whenever the aliens decided to give her what she assumed was food, they'd press some button on their belt and slide a tray through the seemingly empty air. Jade had tried to get through the barrier every time they gave her food, but it seemed you could only penetrate it from the outside. During the first few days aboard, Jade had refused to eat. At first, she'd been so petrified of what they'd do to her that in between bouts of sobbing and hysterically muttering to herself, she'd retched bile into her small, sleek toilet. After deciding that dissolving into a weeping mess wouldn't help her, she'd attempted to try and not think about her current situation and focus only on what she could achieve minute to minute. Every time she felt the urge to truly take in her circumstances, she shut down her brain by bellowing any annoying repetitive song she could think of. At present, she sat cross-legged on the ground, staring absently at her tray of food and water that the aliens had shoved toward her earlier. She smiled down at the pile of green slop on the tray. One of her only friends, Annie, a strict vegan, had once attempted to make her eat something that looked similar to this. She'd raved about the algae-based superfood relentlessly, but Jade, being the stubborn ass she was, had refused to try it. Jade closed her eyes when they began to sting from unshed tears. She would never see Annie again. "Don't think about that. Don't think about that." Jade's eyes flashed open and she began singing the chorus to an annoying 80s power ballad. One of the reptilian aliens walked in front of her cell and hissed at her aggressively. She backed into the corner of her small room and stopped singing aloud. Instead, she hummed the tune and glared at the creature. Neither of the shiny green aliens had enjoyed her attempts to smother her feelings. Whenever she began singing, they'd rush over and hold her stare with their slitted eyes until she stopped. She knew avoiding reality wasn't the smartest or most mature idea in the long run. She knew that facing things head-on was a much healthier approach, but Jade felt sure she was one thread away from snapping. She also knew from experience that pretending to be fearless and unaffected would help to keep her sane. The creature made another low hiss over its shoulder, and the second creature came to join the first. One of the aliens used a long, pointed claw to motion to her full tray of green goo. The more time she spent doing nothing but observing these aliens, the more she felt she could read their moods. When they were frustrated or possibly angry, as they were now, she'd noticed that their hissing became short and spit flew off their tongues with each alien word. Whenever they retrieved her full food tray, they'd use that harsh hiss and their long, broad tails would flick back and forth. "It seems like they're getting frustrated with my hunger strike," she thought as she watched them hiss back and forth while gesturing to her tray. The slightly smaller of the two walked away. When it returned to her cell a moment later and she saw what it had retrieved, she felt the blood drain from her face. The creature was pointing to her food with one claw-tipped hand and held a long, clear tube in the other. It raised the tube a little higher, and she understood the creature's meaning. She could either eat on her own, or she could be force-fed. The two lizard beings waited silently at her cell. The thought of being held down and force-fed through a tube made a jolt of fear run through her. Begrudgingly, she decided that keeping the aliens at bay was more important to her than possible food poisoning. Tentatively, she moved toward her tray and used her forefinger to scoop up a small amount of goo. Shutting her eyes, she took a bite. A cold sweat broke out over her skin, and she tried to keep her breathing even as she waited for some reaction. When her throat didn't swell, she began to relax. She let out a relieved exhalation when she saw the two aliens had left, apparently satisfied with her small bite of food. Her stomach gave a pained rumble, and she polished off the rest of the goo. Although awful to look at, it didn't taste too bad. It was sweet and surprisingly filling. The water, however, was stale and tasted metallic on her tongue. Jade leaned back on her small, scratchy cot and wondered for the thousandth time why she had been taken. Apart from feeding her and occasionally walking by her cell to check on her, the aliens had left her alone. "What is the point of all this?" Jade thought again. Since she'd been conscious, they hadn't touched her or experimented on her, but instead kept her fed and healthy. There must have been a reason for her abduction. The possible reasons to abduct someone that kept running through her mind were terrifying. She knew one thing for sure: whatever they planned on doing to or with her would happen when they reached their destination. "How far could we have gone in a few days?" she snorted. Who was she kidding? Jade spent her life drawing gardens and shutting herself away from the world. Why the hell did she think she could logic out how far a spaceship might travel in a few days? Suddenly, Jade felt exhausted and beaten. She sat back on her bed against her cell wall. Eventually, the soft humming and vibration of the ship lulled her to sleep. A sharp pain deep in her ear made Jade bolt awake. Just as her vision cleared, she noticed one reptilian alien backing out through the force field. She scrambled toward it, hoping that whatever allowed it access was still working. Bam! She ran headlong into the wall and bounced back, toppling onto her bed. Rubbing her ear, she yelled at the alien, who was still staring at her from outside the cell.
"What did you do to my ear, you scaly son of a bitch?"
Instead of answering, the alien hissed low and lumbered away. Jade had been on this stupid ship for more than a week at least. Apart from the painful ear wake-up call she'd gotten a few days ago, not much had changed. From her cell, she could study the console where the two aliens sat. It must be where they drive this thing. While watching them man the controls and shifts the past few days, she'd learned some things. One, she was pretty sure she was being sold. One of the aliens, whom she'd started calling Thing One, had come back and flashed a device at her. Later, she was able to make out a picture of herself being pulled up on the console screen and heard them speaking with someone not currently on the ship. Her heart hammered in her chest when she guessed at what someone buying her would do to her. Why would they want her? Was she some kind of alien delicacy? Would they display her like a lobster and then boil her alive? Jade had spent a good half hour rocking herself in the corner after that particular thought had occurred. The second thing she'd figured out was that they were getting close to their destination. Alien number two, aka Thing Two, had thrown a large dress that resembled a sack with armholes in her cell today. Looking for any reason to defy her abductor, she'd refused to change into the dress. The gray fabric of the dress was thick and reminded her of wetsuit material. One glaringly obvious pro to wearing the dress was that it was clean. Taking a sniff of her unwashed clothes made her question whether this was a stupid battle to fight. After finally accepting the water they'd provided with her food, Jade had been disappointed to learn that the small sink in the corner dispensed some kind of cleansing foam rather than water. The foam dissolved the dirt on her hands, and she'd used it to clean herself as best she could, but the pajama set she wore hadn't received the same attention, and the smell was starting to get to her. Her battle to remain in her dirty clothes had been short-lived, however. thing too had hissed at her and lowered the temperature in her cell incrementally. Before long, she was forced to wear the dress to keep from freezing to death. The final and most troubling thing she'd learned was that she was pretty sure she wasn't the only captive on this ship. She'd noticed Thing One holding more than one gray dress when he'd thrown hers at her. She'd also noticed they'd carried more than one food tray when delivering her food. She'd thought the other tray was for them. Even lizards have to eat, right? That idea was put to bed when she caught one of them walking by while swallowing a small, squealing, two-headed animal whole. After watching that, it was hard to imagine they'd also eat the green goo they'd been feeding her. Rapid beeping sounded from the console, drawing Jade's attention. Thing One and Two stood up and walked to her cell. Before she could figure out what they were doing, they'd deactivated the force field and dragged her out, kicking and screaming. They each gripped one of her arms as they half-escorted, half-carried her down the hall. Their hands were rough and scaly, but also somehow cold and moist, making Jade cringe. At long last, she was outside her cell, and all she wanted to do at this moment was return. The air in the ship was sweltering and smelled vaguely sweet, like rotting fruit. Jade began to sweat. The heated metal of the floor made each step burn against her bare feet.
"Where are you guys from, the sun?"
she panted, trying to slip out of their slimy hands. At the end of the hallway stood a group of three large egg-shaped structures. When they neared, a rounded panel opened up on one of the eggs, revealing a small compartment with a single seat. As soon as she understood what they meant to do with her, she started to struggle frantically.
"No way are you putting me in that thing by myself. I can't fly a freaking spaceship, space pod, space egg, whatever that thing is."
Ignoring her protests, Thing One lifted her over his shoulder and carried her the rest of the way to the pod, shoving her inside and knocking the wind from her. Inch by inch, the door of the pod closed until it was sealed. She watched through the small window in horror as the lizards typed something into a control panel on the wall that she hadn't noticed before. The pod started moving backward away from the two reptilian aliens. She could guess what that meant.
Shit, shit, shit!
In desperation, she scanned every square inch of the pod for an escape, but the interior was bare, save for the solitary seat. She was about to get shot out into space, and then to who knew where.
"Well," she sighed, looking down into her hand at the small bottle of sleep spray she'd grabbed during the struggle. "Let's hope this spray works on everything."
Chapter 3. If Jade had ever wondered whether she'd missed out on a career as an astronaut, she now had her answer. Flying through open space in an egg was terrifying. Her fear had caused her to somehow experience both intense claustrophobia and agoraphobia at the same time. When a large planet came into view, her panic attack had intensified. She'd been able to breathe on the ship, and her common sense told her they wouldn't have kept her alive this long only to send her to a planet where she couldn't breathe, or one whose gravity was so strong she'd be crushed like a pancake. Logically, she knew this. Unfortunately, at this moment, logic wasn't at the steering wheel. The closer the pod drew to the planet, the quicker her breaths became until she began hyperventilating. When the pod hit the atmosphere, her vision faded to black. Insects chirped all around Jade, and a cold breeze blew, making her shiver. When her eyes cracked open, she saw she was still in her pod, but the door was opened. Eyes widening, she sucked in a sharp breath and held it. A moment passed before she chided herself.
"Don't be an idiot, Jade. You would have already died if you couldn't breathe."
She released her breath and peered out of the pod. She was in a clearing with dense forest all around her. It was night, but moonlight illuminated her surroundings. When she stepped out of the pod, she understood why it was so bright.
Two friggin' moons.
Jade gazed around the clearing, marveling at how everything was both familiar and astonishingly foreign. The bright light of two moons rather than one shone down on a dark forest of trees.
The forest as a whole was unremarkable. The tree trunks looked like wood, and the height of the trees was very tall, but nothing out of the ordinary. The leaves, however, were unlike any she'd ever seen. They were very large and round like a giant lily pad. The thick, round leaves spread out and created an unnaturally dense canopy that caused almost all light to be blocked out. The sounds of insects buzzed around her, but the noise just wasn't right. Something about the unfamiliar pattern of humming and clicking that surrounded her made fear creep through her. "At least it's a normal temperature," Jade recalled the intense heat of the spaceship. Shaking her head in disbelief, she circled the pod and tried to take stock of her situation. What to do now? Did I crash or something? Veer off course? Why would Thing 1 and 2 drop me in the middle of the forest? She heard a faint rustling to her right and froze. The spray! Where's the spray? The small cylinder was no longer in her hands. Oh, must have dropped it when I passed out. As the rustling grew louder, she scrambled back to the pod, feeling around for the small container. Her movements became more desperate when the rustling changed into the sound of soft footsteps against the springy ground. There, she found the tube without a second to spare. The steps were behind her, and she could feel a presence at her back. She blindly aimed the spray over her shoulder and dashed into the woods. Before she hit the tree line, she heard the satisfying thump of a body hitting the ground. Heart racing, she ran. The forest was dense and almost pitch black. She continued to trip over fallen branches and slip in a slimy substance she couldn't identify, but she kept running. Her instincts told her that whoever or whatever was back there had made sure she'd arrived at night away from civilization and therefore any other people. Whatever their motivation was, Jade doubted it was noble. Jade had no idea how long she'd been running for when she noticed the trees start to thin. Her lungs burned with exertion, but she forced them and her shaky legs to keep moving. The trees continued to thin until they cleared completely. Jade halted. In the distance, she could make out the outline of a city backlit against the large, glowing moons. There weren't any skyscrapers or stark gray warehouses, but rather tall, pointed towers that would have not looked out of place on a medieval castle. To her right, the ground sloped and leveled out into a large field. On her left was a craggy path littered with bushes and boulders. Traveling in the field would definitely be easier, but she'd have no cover in case whoever was behind her caught up. The hill would take longer to traverse, but had plenty of cover. To anyone who didn't know Jade, the field would have seemed like the more attractive option. She decided to choose the more difficult terrain, feeling that if her would-be kidnapper followed her, they'd assume she chose the flat field. Keeping the city in view, she began to climb. If she kept going at this pace, it might only take her a few hours to get there. Eyes riveted to the city skyline, she came to an abrupt stop. What if it's worse there than here? She could be walking directly into a nightmare. One thing was certain. The creature she'd run from had orchestrated her abduction. They'd waited for her to arrive alone. Why? She hoped it was because kidnapping was against the rules, even on an alien planet. Jade sank to her knees, hot tears running down her cheeks. Aliens, she thought miserably. Jade's whole universe had shifted. This was an alien planet. Even if she could find other beings, who's to say she could make them understand what had happened to her? She was just one measly human from a world that hadn't traveled that far into space yet. Why would they even care about her? Now that she was alone, Jade allowed the events of the past few weeks to settle over her. Her life back home had been a lonely one. She had no family, very few good friends, and tended to keep to herself. She lowered her head in her hands and cried weakly, attempting not to make any sound. No one will care that I'm gone. Will they even notice I was taken? Sure, her employer would be put out that she'd just stopped coming in. They'd probably tried to contact her when she'd missed the meeting with that client a few days ago. After not hearing from her for at least a week, she hoped they would have called the police. Her home would show that there'd been a break-in. She chuckled humorlessly through her tears. At this moment, she was most likely considered a missing person. Jade realized that her work ID would be the only picture of hers that her co-workers had. Oddly, imagining her sad work photo on a missing persons report made her cry harder than anything else. How could she have shut herself off to the world so completely? Jade batted away her tears. Damn it, her life hadn't been the best, but it was hers. She had a house and a career, and if she ever got back to Earth, she swore she'd try to make more of an effort to let people in. Somehow, she'd make these aliens understand what had happened to her. She would charade her ass off if that was what it took. Whoever abducted her wouldn't get away with this. She started walking toward the city and let her cool anger motivate her. If what they did was illegal, she'd find someone to help her catch them and punish them. Chapter 4.
Is this city a goddamned mirage?
Jade yelled in between panted breaths. She'd been walking in the direction of the city's spires for almost 2 days and was only slightly nearer. Those spires must be much more massive than she'd thought. Jade was exhausted, dehydrated, and had discovered cuts and bruises all over her body from her adrenaline-fueled dash through the forest. Yesterday she'd come across a few streams of water but had refrained from drinking anything she didn't know for certain was safe. A few hours into her trek this morning, however, had made her realize that in order to keep moving toward the elusive city on the horizon, water was necessary. At about midday, when Jade was ready to suck the moisture out of the next dirty puddle she stumbled upon, she came to a small stream running downhill. Without a second thought, she crouched down near the stream and gulped a few handfuls of water. Jade took the momentary break to study small curling plants near the stream's edge. As a child, her aunt would take her out into the woods behind her home and teach her which plants could be eaten, which were poisonous, and which could be used for other things. In South Carolina, Jade would have been able to forage and survive in the woods for months if she had to. The small plant she was currently examining had fuzzy, curling leaves that rolled in on themselves when her hand drew near. Jade let out a panicked squeak and snatched her hand back. She watched as the small leaves unfurled themselves once again.
"This isn't home. You don't know what edible plants look like here. Don't try."
Her aunt's voice played through her mind, chanting her favorite phrase to utter while teaching Jade to forage.
"If in doubt, leave it out."
The phrase reminded Jade that if she didn't know for sure what a plant was, she shouldn't be putting it in her mouth. Even on Earth, the very poisonous plant hemlock was often confused with parsley, which she wouldn't give for some green goo right about now. A wave of sadness hit her as she thought about her aunt. She would know what to do. Moving to the edge of the hillside, Jade sat on a clear, flat stone that was lavender in color. With her back to the stream, she gazed down over a beautiful, sprawling landscape.
"Well, at least I have a killer view,"
she thought as she waited for any negative side effects from the water. The hill led down to a flat valley that stretched on for miles before disappearing into another dense forest. A shining river wove through the brightly colored grasses of the valley until it too disappeared into the forest. Jagged, narrow mountains rose crookedly from the horizon, jutting into the sky at an unnatural angle. The sun that burned brightly above her was slightly smaller and more orange than the sun back home, casting the whole landscape in warm light.
"Wow,"
was all Jade could manage. Up to this point, she'd been afraid and angry that she had been transported unwillingly to an alien planet. Sitting alone and admiring the beautiful scene before her made her stop and think about how wondrous this place was. She may be temporarily stranded on an alien planet, but she had to admit it was painfully beautiful and surreal. Out of the corner of her eye, she spotted movement and rolled behind a large bush. About 100 feet away, a round silver object slowly floated along down a narrow, cleared area of the valley. Her heart leapt.
"That looks like a road."
The large silver ball had to be 12 feet tall at least, but the gleaming silver surface was so reflective that she'd almost not seen it. If she was right and that was a road, it would make sense that the ball was a vehicle of some sort. Fatigue threatened to overwhelm her as she gazed longingly at the floating object. If she didn't eat something or drink more, she'd never make it to the city. Hitching a ride would be her best bet at survival. Indecision warred within her, and she bounced on her heels, trying to choose whether to chase the moving object down or stay hidden. While it was true the object could be some type of...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?